Have you ever heard the story of Simeon in the Gospel of Luke? Are you familiar at all with that story? If I was to give you a pop quiz, who's Simeon? What role did he do? Not Simon, which I accidentally call him that all the time. It's Simeon. Maybe you heard about it and forgot it. Maybe you can't recall it off the top of your head. Maybe you know all about it. But that's how I want to begin this morning, by sharing this story with you, because I think it still speaks to us today. It's in the Gospel of Luke. Early on in Jesus' life, when he was being presented in the temple as an infant, it only appears in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is the only one of the synoptics that has Jesus in Jerusalem before the end of his life. In Luke, he's back and forth. They go to Jerusalem every year to the temple. And it's in the second chapter, verses 22 through 35, that we find the story of Simeon. So if you have your Bibles, let's get old school. Let's actually open them up. So I want you to follow along, because the language is very important here. Or you can pull it up on your phone. You got your Bible app, boom, boom, boom. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. This is what the text reads. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of God for the people of God. It's kind of a haunting ending, what Simeon says to Mary. We know the full story. But what this text says to me is it makes me ask a question. Do you have a purpose to your life? Do you have a mission, so to speak? Because Simeon was a man on a mission, a man with a purpose. Now, we're not given a lot of details. We're told that he was righteous and devout. We assume because he has easy access to the temple, he lived in Jerusalem. Maybe since he was allowed to just pick up babies and start blessing, he might have been a member of the priestly class. We're not told. But we know that he is looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He wanted to see how the story was going to play out. He wanted to see how Israel would be delivered, how it would be fulfilled, how they all would be saved. And he was full of the Holy Spirit, to the point, in fact, that the Spirit even told him, "You will see it before you die." The consolation of Israel seemed to be his life's main concern, his mission, his purpose. Righteous, devout, full of the Spirit, promised by the Spirit that he would see the Messiah before he died. He seemed to be focused. He seemed to be able to find his mission and purpose in life. If I was to ask you what age Simeon was, what would you say? I would say old, right? Yeah, it was funny. In Sunday school, we were looking up artist renditions of the story. And everybody, myself included, I always envisioned Simeon at the end of his life. But the text never mentions his age. There's a story about Anna right after where the text explicitly tells you she's 84 and of great age. But it never discusses Simeon's age. I guess it's because of the promise that he would see the Messiah before he died, and then his words after he sees the Messiah, "Now I can depart in peace." I guess that's what makes us see him as an older man. He's one of those characters, though, that for me has always grabbed my imagination. Because we don't have a lot of details. Was he in the temple every day? Was he looking at every child that came in to be dedicated? That's the one. We don't know. There's plenty of questions we'll never have the answers to, but that doesn't mean there isn't something incredibly valuable to be gleaned from the text about our own lives. And it's the question that I would ask you. How would people describe your life? The text says Simeon's righteous, devout. It lists his qualities. It says he was looking forward. He was looking towards the consolation of Israel. He wanted to see Israel's salvation. He probably spent his whole life watching his people suffer, watching his country suffer under different rulers as they came and they went. And he just wanted to see what the end game was. He made that his mission. He made that his purpose. And the Spirit had revealed to him, yes, you will see it. So what would those who know you, what would they say your mission is? What would they say your purpose is? Because the more time I spent with this story, the more I heard, this is a story about having a purposeful peace. I spent the last week going around and asking people, hey, what's your purpose in life? You really want to scare somebody? Just belly up on next to them and say, hey, man, I was just wondering, what you think your purpose in life is? It's, oh, I got to go. It's not something you can ask to a random person on the street, but if you know folks and you get them to trust you and they'll open up a little bit to you and then you ask those questions, you can get some really good conversation going. I mean, how would you answer? What would you say? What's your purpose? What's your meaning? It was interesting. I talked to maybe about 20 people, and there were a lot of similarities. Very few of them mentioned what they do for a living. Almost all of them included how you treat other people. And all of them talked about happiness or peace or being content. I firmly believe that we can all find a purpose in this life, a meaning for which we exist. I believe it's up to us to find it because I believe in free will. I am Arminian to the core. I believe that we have free will, so we can find our purpose. God works through everything to bring about good, right? Brenda read that passage from Jeremiah 29. The well-known scripture, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for you to prosper, not to do you harm, to give us hope and a future. I truly believe that is tied together with our purpose and meaning, and we will be blessed if we search for that purpose. Simeon had that purpose, to look for the consolation of Israel. Paul had that purpose. In the passage we read from Philippians, Paul talks about his mission in life and how he has to stay a little bit longer to fulfill it. Yes, it would be great to be in the kingdom, he says, but I also have work to do here and now. He has a mission. He has a purpose. So I ask you again, what's your meaning? What's your purpose in life? For Simeon, it was the consolation of Israel. For Paul, it was to establish communities of faith. But what is it for you? We all have different answers. I realize when asking that, I've been blessed that my career has always been service-based, and I've been lucky enough where I could find my meaning and purpose in my career. I go to work every day, even if it's something that's given somebody a walker or a wheelchair. I find great meaning in what I get paid to do, but I realize I'm lucky. Not everyone has that luxury. I understand that. Sometimes the job is not where we find our meaning and our purpose. Sometimes the job is just the way to pay the bills. And that's okay too. Like I said, most of the 20 people I talked to, hardly anyone mentioned their careers, and these were all highly successful people. You know what they did talk about? How they treat other people, the roles they serve for their families, how to make their community a better place for their neighbor. It almost always involved other people and serving other people. I'm telling you, you can find purpose in your life. God has a purpose for you. Maybe it's your loved ones. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's something in your neighborhood or community. But you can be used. There's a reason and a purpose. And God wants you to find it and fulfill it. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter what your past is. God can use you to make this world a better place, and you can find meaning and purpose in your life. I fervently believe this deep down in the pit of my soul. I will be honest, though. I was talking to one of my friends, and I was like, you think it's everybody? Everybody has a purpose? Because let's be honest. We all know some people that make us think, My friend very wisely said, hey, those people can teach you how to forgive. Those people can teach you how to have grace. Those people can teach you how to have patience. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone. And you do too. You might be sitting there this morning, maybe you're having a hard time and you think I'm full of it. But I'm not. God has meaning for you. God has a purpose for you. There is meaning and purpose to your life, and you can find it. Think about how you help your family. Think about how you can best be there for your friends and your colleagues. Think about what you can do to improve your community and neighborhood. Those are just starting points. I mean, every day, every single day, you can wake up and you can say, what am I going to do today to make this world a better place? Every day you're given that choice. Or you can just try to make it through the end of the day. Back to our story about Simeon. Once he laid his eyes on the infant Jesus, he says that prayer, Master, now you're dismissing your servant in peace. In peace, he says. Peace. A purposeful peace. When we find purpose, we find peace. Remember, like I said earlier, all 20 of those people who I talked about all mentioned happiness or contentment or peace as their goal and their purpose. When we fulfill our purpose, we find our peace. That's why I so fervently believe that we all have purpose, and I want you to realize it, because there is a peace that comes along with that. You know, Paul talked about his purpose in Philippians. It's later on Philippians where he talks about that peace that surpasses all understanding. A purposeful peace. And it gives us courage and grace to face every day with the same passion and zeal for our purpose, which then refills us with that peace. And on we go as we work towards the coming of the kingdom of God. Of course, there's some things that we have no control over. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes we get beat down. We get tested. We get tried. But if we can tap into that peace that comes with purpose, then we can get back up. We can get back up and keep on going, fulfilling our purpose and being blessed with peace. Even Simeon knew that. Like I said, his blessing is quite haunting. He says Jesus will cause the rising and the falling of many. He even looks at Mary and says, a sword's going to pierce your own soul too by this child. Life isn't easy. There are ups and there are downs. Life is messy. Life is complicated. I'm not telling you if you find your purpose, you'll lead a perfect life. I'm not saying that. Because bad things happen. Stuff we have no control over. But you know, the Christ, the Messiah, took on the form of that baby and was born in a stall amongst the muck and the mess so that we can find peace if we follow him. Enough peace at least to get through the hard times and to get back up and to keep on going. There's an anthem based on the Simeon story. And you're about to hear it. It's even called a canticle of peace. The words come directly from Scripture. The music comes from John Purifoy. Am I saying that right? Since the 4th century, these words have been used in evening services in the church, such as Vespers and Evening Song. You're going to hear some Latin, but the words just repeat Simeon's prayer. Listen to this. Listen to this canticle of peace and ask yourself, do you have your meaning? Do you have your purpose? If not, search. And you can find it. Then let that peace of God fill you so you can get up again and do it all again tomorrow.